Now, the influences for your latest release, Little Piece of Pie, folk music, Tom Waits, Talking Heads, piles of 8-track tapes, Jack Kerouac, and Old Life magazines. That's what it says on your Bandcamp site. So how do all those influences flow together? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, people like Tom Waits and the Old Life magazines, and, you know, I remember those piles of 8-track tapes and my brother's 66 Chevelle, you know, the White Album on an 8-track. Like, that's part of my cultural heritage. And Jack Kerouac, you know, when I read that book on the road, it was just like, holy cow, you know, nothing but apple pie to eat all the time. And, you know, it just sounded... So those things that carried me away in my youth are things that I still revisit. They're kind of what I made out of. And put that together with now being a family man, you know, with 6 children and making a living as an artist and kind of a hard scrapple life. So when I sing about broken dishes and sinks full of... you know, dirty dishes and sweeping the floor and you know, all that sort of stuff is a way of kind of like, these songs are about real things and they come from real places.
Right.
And they're influenced by this music that I cut my teeth on, the music of Tom Waits and the early Talking Heads. All that stuff is part of the pie.
So let's talk about creativity and inspiration.
Sure.
So when you're painting, when you're playing guitar, how does one influence the other? If you pick up guitar, does it influence something that you decide to paint? If you paint something, does it influence something, you know, that you paint?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I'm not really sure how that works, Paul, except for sometimes I think of the metaphor of farmers before we had monocropping, when you just did corns and soybeans, you know, the way they do it now. You know, earlier days you had all kinds of, maybe you're growing wheat and you had vegetable garden for your family, and then in the early spring you did maple syrup. There were kind of different things that, you know, overlapped and one traded off with the other.
Sure.
And for myself, It's like that. It's like painting, and then I'll do sculpting for a while. Then I'll be creating woodblock prints. And then I'll be a season of time where we're, like we just finished, we've been working on a new record and recording new songs. So I'll just kind of dive in that. The artwork is still there, but
right,
it kind of goes off to the side for a while, and I focus on one thing, on the music for a while. And as it slides off to the side, it kind of might seem like it's fallow, but there's this thing going on, just like the soil. When you let a field rest for a while, there's
right,
something invisible going on that's recharging itself.
Sure.
So having one thing and then to go off into another thing, they work somehow in tandem in a mysterious way, and one can rest while the other one is, you know, being kind of redeveloped again.
Now, if you had to pick just one thing, one creative outlet, could you do that one thing the rest of your life?
I think that would be probably almost impossible for me to just do one thing. I've thought of it before because, you know, you just focus on one thing, you get really good at it.
Yeah.
You know? And for myself, you know, I've thought before, maybe, you know, if I lost my eyesight, then I would be, you know, that blind musician on the corner. I've thought about that.
Okay.
You know, I know an artist, Chuck Close, who... is a fantastic painter, and he had a brain aneurysm, which left him a severely paralyzed.
Sure.
And he says all he can do is paint now, and there were lots of things he used to love to do, and he's glad he's left with the thing he loved most, you know. But it's hard to say.
Right, right.